Tired of the same old hot takes and sports cliches? Want a fresh perspective on the world of sports? Then tune into the Fade Route with DNZ, the podcast that's changing the game. Every Wednesday, DNZ bring you insightful analysis.
I would argue that that group would be better set in a West Coast offense.
Hilarious banter.
See, people came here for a baseball game.
And a whole lot of fun. Coming at you from the AO Studios. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Fade Route with DNZ. It's not just a podcast, it's a lifestyle.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, or drop us a line on X at Fade Route DNZ, and you could be next.
Part two of our interview with Coach Jim Herman starts right now. If you missed part one, you know what to do. Check out this week's episode of The Fade Route with DNZ. So we're here with former college linebackers coach, former professional NFL linebacker coach, coach of Raiders T-Roll in the European League of Football, Jim Herman. And you've coached for the Jets. You've coached for the Giants. You mentioned you coached for the Colts as well. You won Super Bowl 46 with Tom Coughlin. So what's the biggest difference you noticed between the Jets and the Giants in terms of culture, attitude, and professionalism?
Oh, the Giants organization, in my mind, and I've visited most of the places. I know guys that coach. The Giants organization is top notch. The Mara family, the Pitt family, specifically the Mara family. The Mara family works in the building every day. John Mara is there every day. Chris Mara is there every day. I mean, you go down for lunch, and if your position is not playing well, and you sit down for lunch, John Mara is going to sit right next to you and say, "Hey, look, what's going on? Like, tell me about your players." And John Mara knows, Chris Mara knows, these guys know football, you know. Whereas Woody Johnson came in the meeting room and he's like looking around. I was the only one there. Said, "Hey, Jim, are we going to blitz this week?" I'm going, "What?" "Yeah, my friends told me online that we need to blitz more."
I'll write that down.
Yeah. Noted. Noted.
Right on top.
But no, but the Mara family and the Giants organization is, in my mind, I'm sure, and I know this for a fact, the Maras and the Rooneys, the way they run their organization, Pittsburgh and New York Giants, are the two. I mean, the Giants are probably the best organization. They know football. They understand football. I think the new lady there in Detroit, I think she gets it, because you saw what she did with Chris Spielman and bringing back the guys that made that organization what it was and made them a big part of it. And you know, those people have foresight and see, and they know football. Some of these owners, you know how it is. I mean, there's, you know.
Right.
But, oh, we know. Play money.
Yeah, it's right. It's not that serious. Well, yeah,
totally, totally.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that could be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
So So since we're talking about the Giants, what do you think of the Harbaugh hire? How do you think he's going to fare in New York?
I think Johnny will be great. I've known John. John and I have known each other since we were 19 years old. His dad, Jack, was a DB coach at Michigan.
Oh, wow.
When I was a freshman.
Oh, cool. Wow.
And John, that summer, my freshman year, he came up and he was at Miami of Ohio and he worked out with us for the off season. So I've known Johnny for a long time. And then Jimmy came in. Jimmy was a freshman my first year as a graduate assistant coach in 1983. So I've known the family for a long time. And John, like, to be honest with you, probably the best coach to hire as a head coach is the special teams coach. You know why? Because those guys have a pretty good overall grasp of the roster. Okay, I got my offensive starters, I got my defensive starters, I have these guys as backups, so on and so forth. And how does that help us on special teams? Those guys have a great grasp of what a roster needs to be like. And I think Johnny has done that his whole career as I've watched him. And like Mike Westhoff, like me, Mike Westhoff could have been a head coach.
We've had Coach on the show.
Yeah, we had Coach on the show. He was awesome.
Did you? Yeah, Mike's a great dude.
He's amazing.
Like, to me, he is one of those guys that understood the roster and what the makeup of those D6 guys are and how that goes. And, you know, honestly, if I was an owner, if I was a billionaire, which I'm not, but if I was and I owned a team, I would go out and find the best special teams coordinator that had the grasp of the roster, and I hire him as my head coach.
Yeah.
And then I would go out and find two great coordinators, offensively and defensively, and then let that special teams guy control the roster. In my mind, that's how it should be done.
Yeah.
But, you know, public persona and all that bullshit, you know. If the owner doesn't have any balls, he's not going to.
Right.
So you recently coached Raiders T-Roll in the European League of Football. So what has surprised you most about coaching players in Europe compared to the States, especially guys who like have to balance football with careers like teaching or medicine?
Yeah, tough, really tough. The commitment that those kids had are amazing. You know, I have my starting safety, Jan Mayhofer. He just spoke in Hawaii at a convention for physicists around the world.
Wow.
Yes. He was my starting safety. And but he loved football. He loved the commitment part of it, the toughness part of it, the push part of it. Even though he's got an amazing career ahead of him. My other starting safety was actually our orthopedic surgeon. So if someone got hurt, he was in there helping with the operation. He actually broke his thumb on his dominant hand, and he sat in there while the guy did the surgery on it and like helped and da da da, and came back and played the rest of the year. Like 3 weeks later. So there is a love for the game. There's a commitment to the game. Now, it's hard because, you know, being who I am and the way I coach and the expectations, it was hard for some of the guys, you know, because they, couldn't watch as much film. They couldn't come in during the day. And that was hard to adjust to for me. But we got it done. And we had two good seasons. You know, I think the biggest problem there in Tirol, in Innsbruck, Austria, is you're looking at a city of about 180,000 people. And if you draw a circle of 2 hours outside of it, you really only have about three other football programs within that circle. Whereas if you go to Vienna, which was the other team, Vienna, Austria, you know, that's 2 million, 2.5 million people. And you draw that circle and there's 12 to 15 other football programs at the lower level. And so it becomes a numbers game. The other thing is, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but like, you know, there are certain body types by country.
Right.
Like the Germans have all the offensive linemen. There are no offensive linemen. I mean, we might have had one or two, period. So it's like, okay, who's going to play offensive line?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True. So what body types did they have? Skill players?
We had an exorbitant amount of DBs and wide receivers. A few kickers, maybe. We were destined to play four wide receivers every down. But we had some good running backs. We had some good running backs. But, you know, we had to bring in a Europe. You're allowed six European players. We used the majority of those six: offensive line, defensive line, tight end. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's. But, you know, you go up against a big German team, and you're sitting there going, oh shit.
It'll be a long day.
Fourth quarter, it's going to start rolling downhill.
Oof.
But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm going to take this year off. Family wise, I got to take care of, and then maybe the next venture is Japan. I don't know.
All right,
we'll see.
But beautiful country, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, very beautiful.
Interesting. So, I mean, how is the scene in Japan in terms of American football? Like,
American football? Japan actually has the. Outside of America, probably, or outside of America and Canada, Japan has the next best league.
Really?
It's called it's called the X League. They're all corporate sponsored. You know, you're looking at Toyota, Mitsubishi. I mean, they're all corporate sponsored, so it's big money, and the best players are all there. And I was there many, many years ago. I coached over there through Michigan, and there was actually a defensive back who I felt like could play in the NFL. There was a wide receiver who could have played mid-level college ball, so. The talent's there now. That was like 30, my youngest son's 33, so that was 34 years ago when we were there. So it's gotten better and better and better. I mean, those jobs are hard to get. It's a very competitive but it would be interesting to do again.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had a league. How many games do they play?
Yeah.
How many games they play, you know?
Oh, they're a full 16 game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they have quite a bit of teams over there.
Huh. Something for us to take a little bit of a deeper dive on.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah. So we'll get you out of here on this one, Coach. You've had a long career in football, and you're a bit of a bourbon aficionado, right? You're known to enjoy a good one after a win or maybe even a tough loss. So what's your go-to bourbon, and how do you take it?
Well, obviously neat. maybe a drop of water. Maybe a small cube, but wow. Well, my wife and I just went down and did the Bourbon Trail. My entire family's from Louisville.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But we finally did the Bourbon Trail. And to be quite honest with you, the Woodford Oak Barrel is really yep. I would say the Four Roses, the Special Blend, the Master's Blend is a good sip. And then if you're just, you know, you don't want to be on the high money side of it. I would love a Makers on the Rocks, you know, actually a double Makers on the Rocks. I could sit. Matter of fact, when I'm done with this, that's probably what I'm going to go do on the porch and have a cigar. So
solid. Solid. If you're ever in New York, you know, look us up. We'll toss them back with you.
Yeah, I know, David. We'll go down and drink all Rays.
Yeah, we'll drink Rays, but we closed down the Candlelight one night. That was pretty wild.
Awesome. Well, former Michigan Wolverine linebacker coach, former New York Jets, New York Giants, Indianapolis Colts linebacker coach, former Raiders Tyrol head coach of the European League of Football, Jim Herman, thank you for coming on, Coach. And if you want to be the newest member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutmail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutDNZ and let us know. And you may be the very next guest on the In Route. Coach, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we will see you soon for a couple of cold ones.
You need me, just give me a call.
Thanks again, Coach. Take care.
I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
On to my Maker's Mark.
Go for it.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.